Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/Andy's Girls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/Andy's Girls, to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Lewis Weitzman, we're back. Listen, that was just a small mini episode, a part one, because we had some stuff to say about Orange County. I feel like I have, honestly, more to say about OC, but my brain is just kind of open to possibilities because there are so many directions I could continue to go on. Can I just ask you one follow-up before we shift into Franklin Lakes? God forbid, get your passport again, as Ramona as Ramona needed before she took a night in New Jersey this most recent week. Oh, wild.
I pray for her.
We pray for her daily. With Tamra and Shannon and I guess Vicky, who's not on the show but a part of the show, do you think that there is a possibility in this universe? Why do I feel like this is unrealistic, where they come back together? Or are we approaching an era where these women are really genuinely not going to fuck with each other aside from being in an ensemble?
I think on Tamra's end, certainly, because like I said, she's so calculated. I think she absolutely could come back to them. I think it's hard because Shannon and Vicky have both acknowledged something that has been clear forever and ever, which is that Tamara is very calculated and that mm-hmm. she will drop people and stab you in the back whenever it's convenient for her. So it's a lot harder to come back from, I think, putting that out there in the open to say, like, you know, our friendship obviously didn't matter to her because she mm-hmm. threw me away once, you know, that's what she wanted to do for mm-hmm. the show or whatever it is. Like, once you say that, you can't really put that back in the box. Like, mm-hmm. That's now out there versus, like, past conflicts that were more about, I don't know, Brooks or I can't remember what they were fighting about over the years, but
everything
else. it wasn't about Tamara just being an inherently kind of shitty person who mm-hmm. will discard people based on her needs. I think it's harder to come back from that.
I also kind of wonder, it has to be a weird position to be in to have, or maybe not, honestly, maybe it's not as complicated as I think it could be, where you have like really negative feelings towards someone that you're filming with during the season. You react in a way that's potentially vengeful, but you feel is deserved. You get an audience critique that's like, you fucked up, dial it back, maybe, because not everybody feels that way, obviously. But then also, you're thinking to yourself going into the reunion, should I dial it back regardless of how I feel? Because that's the strategic answer. Or maybe I do want it, and this doesn't need to be Tamara specific, but like maybe I do want to dial stuff back, but I feel constrained by my behavior from the season. Like I feel like I need to continue that because that's a part of my job. That has to be somewhat of a difficult kind of path to go on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it would be really tough for Tamara to walk all this back. I think that she, I assume, will get some tearful Tamara moments at the reunion, but mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be like, I don't know what angle she takes exactly. Because I feel like it's so hard for me to, like, there's so much of her behavior that is like very hard for her to defend. Mm-hmm. And I think that to me would be very hard to defend because it's like, she starts off from a place of being like, I'm concerned about Shannon's drinking and care about her, whatever, which is like totally fine and makes sense. But then like if next week she's talking about the bullshit John Jansen lawsuit, mm-hmm. you're like, how do you explain that? Where did that came from? A place of hurt? That's like so clearly not something that is about concern for Shannon that she's bringing that up. Like it's tough. Like she was able to basically be awful to Jen all of last season and then couch it all in concern at the reunion, and that was like, and then they were able to make up, you know, even though they clearly still don't really like each other very much. So I just don't know how she does that with the Shannon stuff.
The stuff that I really appreciate when it comes to like press and interviews and whatever else is a continuation of what I have seen on this season so far, which is like Gina and Emily genuinely having compassion for Shan and defending her and saying this has gone too far with other cast members' behavior. I really think that's great. I really think that like, you know, there's a level of grace that Gina has given Shannon that Shannon understands that she received and maybe didn't entirely deserve, but both of these women I think are really like standing with her, and all three of them are standing together in a way that I really like. I like seeing Shannon and Gina and Emily getting along. And can they shade each other? Yes, absolutely. That's like one of the points of the show. But like there does seem to be genuine respect and care and appreciation. Gina saying, you know what? Shannon is different from how she was before. She has changed. And some of the things I would say about her before, you know, hello, normalize changing your mind based on new information. She has changed her mind. And I really think that like that says a lot about the emotional maturity and intelligence that I think these women have.
But also, I mean, I agree with all of that. On top of that, I think it also shows that Gina is a lot better at this than people give her credit for, that she's had incredible staying power for someone who has seemed a little bit out of place from the beginning and maybe now finally feels like she's not. But like, she obviously thinks about her role in the show and her allies and all of that the way that the rest of them do. And I think that she very smartly, like, I think it came from real compassion, yes, like she's treating Shannon, but also like she could have played this completely differently and had a big moment on the show of confronting Shannon and being like, you brought up my DUI a million times and now I'm going to bring up yours. Like, she could have played it totally differently and she chose a different path. Mm-hmm. And it's made her look so much better. Like, it's like her scene with Shannon, like that was a beautiful scene. And mm-hmm. I think episode 2 with them together, and Emily was there also. And Emily is great. But I just mean, like, I just think Gina has played this so, so well from a moral perspective and also from a show perspective.
And she looks great. And that can't be said enough, even though those shoes are terrible.
Gina?
Yeah, the shoes that she wore.
Her reunion look that I saw, her upcoming reunion look was pretty bad.
Wait, what?
I meant a confessional look.
Oh, I was like,
sorry, no.
The fuck? No, they're not filming a reunion. No. I would know. It would be in my Google Cal. My God. That's not going to happen for a hot second if we're only at the early days. Is it a silver dress? Because somebody sent me a screenshot.
Yeah. It's bad.
It's not terrible. Yeah,
it's the hair.
There's a lot happening. You know what? I'm just going to overlook it. Or I'm going to say that's the fun thing with Gina is like now she's trying. I don't think she was trying before. She didn't know what trying meant. She did not have the definition of trying. And now she's trying.
Stand by for news.
No, wait, hold on. Wait, is this real? Is this really important news?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Hold on, because things have happened.
I know.
And there have been ghosts in the apartment and we can't. Things have happened. We have found out about divorces and Scandoval and unfortunate passing. Oh, wait, hold on. Okay. Before you tell me, I just want to know what shows is it about.
It's a new show.
Sarah in Paris?
Related to Roni.
The leg. Okay. Hold on. Okay.
Bravo developing Real Housewives spinoff with Roni's Dorinda Medley set at Bluestone Manor.
Okay.
That's going to be, according to sources, similar in format to Vanderpump Villa in that it will be Medley serving as boss to a young staff as they welcome guests staying on the property.
Okay. Not as important.
Sorry.
I thought it was going to be.
Okay. Well,
I thought it was going to be legacy.
Okay. Sorry.
That is nowhere near as important as I thought.
It is news, though.
It is technically news.
Okay. Sorry.
It is new information ending with an S. Those poor. Have we learned nothing from how the pressure that Dorinda feels and then she begins to spiral out when she is the host of anything having to do with spinoff? I don't think she understood that her season of Girls Trip, she just was under duress.
Yeah.
So we're now giving her a whole show. But I love Dorinda. I want to see her on TV forever. She's an icon. She's the best. But
I have concerns about how this will... what this will do for her. I don't know. I mean, I feel like she has not had any good. She did, but you know, legacy. She did well. She had a rough first couple episodes, and then she kind of like softened.
Yeah, I think Dorinda is best in an ensemble where she doesn't feel threatened. And I just think with Dorinda and feeling pressure, if she feels the pressure that she needs to deliver or the pressure of looking a certain way, you get into like some of the mid-era Sonia with like Cindy and stuff of I need to tell you how important I am and like prove that to you. That's not entirely great.
Yeah.
But I wish her the best. It's Peacock, right? It's got to be Peacock.
I think it's at Bravo.
What's it called?
Let me see.
Bluestone Manors. That's what it should be. Bluestone Manors is what it should be.
Hold on.
You're welcome in advance.
I already lost the link. Hold on. Great. Oh, here it is. Oh, maybe it didn't say Bravo. No, it said Bravo developing.
Okay.
And
shout out to James LaRosa, who texted me at the exact same time we're talking about this. So Bravo developing Real Housewives spinoff. This is according to Deadline with New York's Dorinda Medley set at Bluestone Manor. The Berkshires, yada, yada. Sources tell us the show would be similar in format to Vanderpump Villa, with Medley serving as boss to a young staff as they welcome guests. The show is only in a development stage. It's not certain if the show will go to series. So who the fuck is leaking this shit if I would assume they're planning for this to go to series? That doesn't make any sense. I don't think that makes sense for her to leak it before it's been finalized. I wouldn't recommend doing that. It's not something that Bravo usually... loves.
Or is Bravo leaking it to try to see what the reaction is and if it's worth pursuing this?
I think this is not a good way. If I don't think Dorinda would do this. I think she's too smart for that. That's not a good way to negotiate by negotiating in the trades.
No, I'm saying did Bravo, like, is production trying to like let this slip out to see what the fan reaction is?
Entirely possible. Usually the sources are people who are literally connected to the network itself. And it doesn't say It just says it's a new reality series being developed at Bravo. So maybe it would be a Bravo show. I love Dorinda so much. I think she's, you know, exceptional. And I just hope that this is a good spot for her. Sometimes you get into that trap. LVP has been there also, obviously, which has worked out quite well, but also sometimes not, where it's like when you're in that authority figure, the pressure of being in that authority figure and also just like the power structure, you're not necessarily going to be seen as the protagonist here.
Yeah.
You know, like versus her in more of an ensemble setting. And I do also have to say that I really genuinely do wish for some sort of limited series, get Legacy going. It does not have to be another trip, but these women still have stories to tell. And if Jill can just shut her fucking mouth enough to just figure it out, she just goes too hard. She goes too hard. And I think she regrets it. I wish for her an easier time negotiating this stuff, because I think she's her own worst enemy when it comes to negotiations, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough to watch someone lose these opportunities that she tells us over and over again she's fine losing, but I don't think she actually is. And Bethany is not going to create a show for
no.
her. Maybe a podcast, but not
maybe.
But she wants to be back on TV, and I want her back on TV. It would be everybody but Ramona, I think. Because Ramona has been fired now two times Ramona for the same racist behavior.
Or they would give Ramona one more shot and then she would do something even worse.
That woman, it's just wild.
Well, we should speak kindly of her, because she recently survived New Jersey, and I feel
she
like
did. She went through a lot.
Be kind to Jersey,
you know,
survivors.
What? Maybe when she was talking about how incredible it is and how, you know, don't look up underdeveloped countries like New Jersey, that's truly what she was saying. Like, I've been everywhere in the world, but guess what? Even you can have a nice time in this horrible shithole. That's truly what she was saying. And then when people started commenting with shade, and she was like, no, but it was nice. Like, it was just a mess. Maybe it wasn't that she had visited New Jersey, which it definitely was. Maybe it was that she had watched an episode of a different season of Real Housewives of New Jersey and was like, you know what? This actually isn't that bad.
That's probably what it was.
So I sent you some post because of word on the street. I tried to decipher it.
I don't really understand it.
I tried to find the original article and I got lost in the abyss of okmagazine.com. I tried so fucking hard, and then I got upset because I could not find it. But I guess there's some conversation, I don't even, about...
It's hard to, like, muster much enthusiasm for any of this stuff this season. I feel like I'm kind of, like, trying to follow it, but I also don't super care.
Just the extra screenshots. I feel like I'm dying as I say this out loud. Extra screenshots. Is there a red balloon? Extra screenshots and a penny or nickels? What was it? Pennies?
I don't remember.
Extra shout out. Extra screenshots. text messages between Jennifer Aiden and one of the content creators, of her trying to strategize how to position the finale fight so that it's like, guess what I heard, but it's all using specific language that Jen was feeding this content creator.
Really specific language.
About a pitcher and other stuff that was thrown. And this is all I feel... so dumb saying this out loud. It just feels depressing. There's my depressive episode coming straight back.
I think the texts are basically saying that, like, Jen was claiming in those texts that Danielle tried to throw a pitcher at her
at the upcoming finale episode,
but that, like, it fell out of her hand, so she didn't actually throw it.
So Jen was essentially saying, I know that this was accidental and not malicious, but let's position it so it looks like
I
don't know.
I thought she was just saying, like, she might claim she wasn't trying to throw it, but she was trying to throw it.
Oh, okay.
I thought she was saying, like, I know that she meant to throw it and dropped
entirely
it instead.
Entirely possible. It truly, my body just went
It's
rejecting more text messages between Jenny Aiden and just whomever. And like, the text ended with her, or at least the last text I saw ended with her being like, but, you know, use casual language because they know that you're on my side or my team or something.
Yeah.
Like, girly. And I just, It's so embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for all of us that this is what is happening or happens. It's just, to me, slightly tragic, but I don't know why it is. I think it's connected with some element of what the fuck, that there's news that this actual pitcher moment of some sort of glass being thrown is not actually being included in the finale, which does not make sense to anyone who has heard Andy, the network, promotion, conversation around the reunion not happening. The excuse being, it will all make sense. You will see how bad it gets between everybody, that it will make sense why we don't have a reunion and why instead of a reunion, we're going to have a finale episode, when it turns out that the finale episode isn't going to include this like wild moment that happens, which also means I would assume that this reunion alternative of the cast giving commentary also isn't going to make fucking sense if they're not talking about this big moment.
I don't, it's such a bummer to me, because I really feel like there were moments this season where I was like, no, this is actually good and people are wrong. Mm. I feel like it, like, much to my surprise, even though certain people wouldn't film with each other, I felt like, and the thing is, they weren't interacting, but they were filming together. Like, Teresa and Melissa going to the same events and just kind of not interacting. I was like, it's working because there's enough conflict happening among other people that I'm okay with it. And then I think it became, in the last few episodes, so clearly divided with these camps. And like, there's something so depressing about all of it, about Dolores making this like truly last ditch effort, basically saying, I'm trying to save the show. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get everyone together. I'm telling them all they have to do this. And then the house burning down. It's just such a sad ending for this, where it's like, I don't think that trip would have solved anything, but I think it would have at least shown if there was any viability to this cast working together again. Like, I don't think they would have made up, but it's like, could we have gotten them all in a house and like made good TV?
Yeah, there is a little bit of a survival of the fittest, but I feel like Teresa and maybe Melissa, nobody's really thinking that this is going to come down to a question of like, who gets to keep their job. The answer might be neither of you.
Yeah, well, and that's sort of where I'm leaning when I watch, because I'm just like, they're both such like non-entities this season in a weird way, where it's like, it's not really about them. And like, you know, Melissa's always been much better at like being a team player and filming with everyone else and integrating herself, but she has not been successful at creating moments like Teresa has. Teresa does not play well with others, but she is a star. Mm. And I think they're both kind of like, I don't know, Melissa has not stood out this season because she doesn't create moments. So she's like, she's there, but she's not really like integral to mm-hmm. anything happening. And Teresa is like, won't film people she doesn't want to film with. She doesn't really want to get in there and like fight with people. And also like, she's kind of on an island a lot of the time. I just feel like she hasn't really had any big moments this season either. I feel like, to me, Danielle and Margaret have had the moments of the season. And I think that, you know, I don't think that Teresa or Melissa have done a good job of explaining why they should be the one to stay on the show.
I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other. And now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndysGirls through December 31. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. It's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com.
Yeah, I also think doing this whole thing of saying I'm not going to come back if she's there, which I would assume Melissa has said, but Teresa has definitely said.
I don't know if Melissa has said that.
She might not have said it. Okay, just kidding. She might not have
said it. I think Melissa is like, I'll do whatever.
I think Melissa is like, she doesn't exist to me.
Yeah.
So like, you know, but with Teresa coming out so hard and being like, I'm not going to do it if she's back because family is important. And then I guess a podcast interview with Kelly Ripa, who's saying, you know, the show doesn't exist without New Jersey. And Teresa's response is like, make sure Bravo knows. I don't know that it's in the show's best interest at this point to continue with so much baggage associated with this season. I really think you have to cut and run at a certain point. And there's just so much baggage with unanswered questions about stuff that has happened behind the scenes that you are never going to extinguish unless you do something that is better than what they have done, which is ask Teresa and Jen a simple question with no follow-up on Watch What Happens, because everybody knows the answer. The answer is it happened and we're moving on because we don't want to get into it. It's just, I don't know a world in, and sure, could Jen be like the sacrificial lamb here? Absolutely. But I would argue, but like, I don't know. Could you do a reset and the audience can forget? Maybe the audience would be thrilled with the opportunity to forget. But I just have to kind of question, if we're not litigating any of this, I would argue the reunion is needed now more than ever before, because it gives people the opportunity to show their value and their worth in a way that no one is doing successfully right now.
I really feel like, God, I would have loved a reunion, because there's so much about the season that was genuinely interesting to me outside of the fact that there is this huge underlying issue that has not been addressed and will not be addressed. There's also just like conflicts that are interesting to me that I would like to unpack more.
Like what?
I want to hear Jackie explain exactly what happened with Marge, with Melissa, in terms of how much of it was whatever they talked about before the season started filming.
And Jen Fessler, by the way.
And Fessler. How much of it was about the book? How much of it was about, like, I want to hear all of that. I want to hear, like, there's stuff that I feel like I want to kind of get to the bottom of, even if we never get a clear answer. I want to hear everyone's side of that. And I think there's also a lot of like fourth wall stuff that needs to kind of be broken in that discussion that won't happen on the show.
Here's my question. And especially if this stupid Fakakta picture isn't a part of this. I don't want to say that the picture is the only moment that happens in this finale, because obviously there's going to be other stuff that's happening. So I want to like throw a little bit of a, you know, something there, that I don't want to say that that means that like nothing will be discussed. But I do have to ask, if you have to separate the cast, which obviously you do, why are you doing a stupid commentary episode about a finale and not answering any other question from this season? Why aren't you doing separate but equal reunions?
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing putting somebody in a room, somebody else in a room, Dolo's in both, Jen Fessler probably pops in and says hi, drag Jackie in the one she doesn't want to go in, because we still need to see some of this. And frankly, she can be sacrificed. It's not a big deal. Apologies to Jackie, but her feelings are not at the level of everybody else's when it comes to this. She's a friend of. Part of the sacrifice is you're going to kick and scream and do stuff you don't want to do, but that's how you play ball. Like, why aren't we asking, why don't we have somebody there, Andy or somebody else, asking questions to the cast that they don't want to answer? Why are we rewarding these people by punishing us with a dumb idea that would have been fine if at least they were asking questions or having some sort of pressure or tension about stuff that's unrelated to this final sit down?
I don't understand what it's for, who it's for. I mean, the original plan that had kind of leaked or that had been discussed was Andy going to their houses and doing interviews with them.
Individual?
Yeah. That was something that like that people were, I don't know if that was ever a real option or just something people were talking about online. Also a bad idea, but still better than what we're getting, because at least it would be them being asked questions about behavior this season. What we're hearing about this finale or reunion, whatever this they're calling it, doesn't make any sense to me, because I don't even understand what they're trying to accomplish here. Like, what more do we need them to say about a finale we just watched? Like, what are they going to be able to?
Great point.
And if you're saying, like, it'll answer all your questions, and it's like, well, then what are we doing here? Like, what is there more? Why would I have to watch again with their commentary? I don't understand what we're getting out of it.
Especially when their argument 2 seconds prior is probably continuing is all your questions will be answered in the finale. If the question is, How do we move forward with all these people? We already know the answer. Right. We can't. Right. So like to say the finale is so hot, we can't fill the reunion. I got you. I understand that. I don't disagree. But that doesn't mean that nobody should be in any kind of amount of hot water about all this other stuff. Like, that's so stupid to me.
I also don't.
I'm like very zesty. I'm not even on my period. Like, I don't even know.
I can't say I understand the idea that it's too hot to film a reunion because it's like it's their contract. And like,
but I also think some things are, this is just, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's like, it is your contract, but they're getting punished. Well, at that point, they were getting punished by not getting paid for those episodes.
Right. I guess I'm just saying, like, are they worried about them physically being in the same room together?
Possible.
Well, I guess if someone's going to bring private security.
Don't bring any pictures. Have the pictures be plastic.
Not the pictures. I meant someone bringing, you know, people with guns, security, private security.
Yeah.
That's a concern, sure.
I don't think if people had been told that they could be a part of the show and not have to film with people they hate.
Yeah.
I think that would probably continue through the reunion. I do not understand how Andy was able to give, I believe him, but give an interview where they're like, yeah, we had reunion dates and everything. I don't, unless maybe the cast said, we don't want to talk to Marge. I don't want to talk to Tree. I don't want to talk to Marge, but we understand we will have to when it comes to the reunion. And then it just became impossible. Like, they may have had some sort of conversation of like, I'll give you this, but you need to give me that.
Well, I think that it's like, for me, I understand the purpose of a reunion ostensibly is resolution, even though we often don't get that. Right. Like, the idea is that Andy has to say, what would it take for you to move forward? That is the point.
Yeah.
And
then we all pretend.
I believe that there's no path forward for Teresa and Marge, mm-hmm. for Teresa and Melissa, for I don't know who else. But like, I believe that. But I'm still like,
poor dumb Jackie.
Why shouldn't they have to talk about like what's the harm in talking about it again? I'm not saying that I need Teresa and Melissa to relitigate that because but why can't Teresa sit there and Marge sit there and each give their piece about what they think happened? Like, why can we not have that? Why
in
is
different
that
rooms
in the same room?
There's no way that's gonna happen.
No, it's not. I'm saying like, why could that never have happened?
Because things just got too much. Although, again, I would go back to the first point I made, which was they were too much before the season started.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard because I think obviously Louis is the unspoken element here of like the problem that no one can get past. And it's like, it's been very frustrating. I don't engage with this stuff online. It's super hostile and like, you know, it's not, I don't tweet about the show. I don't post about the show really because I just feel like it's not something that I want to deal with. But it's been really unfortunate to me to see a bit of a rehabilitation of him attempted, where for a while I was seeing a lot of people who are Teresa fans, potentially tree huggers, who were like defending her behavior but not defending him. And it's become like this season, out of hatred for Margaret, out of hatred for Melissa, it's become like Louis was never the problem. It was like everyone else. And I'm like, I don't know how you can watch this and not see his role in what's gone wrong. Like, take Teresa out of it and see what he has done and see why that was the line that Margaret, you know, could not. Like, there is a real problem here and it's not subtle. And it's something that, it's bizarre to me to say like Rachel Fuda is the problem at this season and not Louis.
Yeah, he's going to ruin her. And it's really unfortunate.
It's really
it makes me very sad.
The part, I know you've talked about this before, but like just the whole thing about like how she's never been distressed in her life. She's like, it just is like, and you think that's Margaret's fault? Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it because it's, I don't know. We're on the same page. I don't think there's like, I don't want to keep harping on this, but it's just like, it's really, that part is hard to watch. And honestly, the last episode, just like the, what do they call the videos they filmed?
Confessionals?
Devotionals. I find it so uncomfortable and so unpleasant that I'm just like, I didn't want to see that. It was rough for me to watch that.
It's just the comparison of saying that like Marge may or may not have helped with the leak of the beach videos, and it like destroyed Louis' character and how dare you. And then this man chooses to take out the sand and put himself in a podcast studio and do the exact same thing.
Is that even the thing that is the actual claim that Margaret leaked the video?
No, I think the claim is that like Margaret was conspiring with Louis' ex to try to ruin or humiliate him in some way.
Yeah.
So anything that the ex may or may not have done with access to these videos, Marge in some way had her hand in.
Yeah, I watched the clip from next week where her and Dolores talking about it, and I still don't entirely get it. Like what the action, because I guess for me, I'm just like, I mean, I think that was why there was a reaction that was kind of like a shrug from everyone else. Cause it's like, I don't really know what we're accusing Margaret of here, in the sense that.
That she talked to Laura and said she didn't. Is Laura the name of
no,
the ex?
No, Laura's the name of.
Sorry. Laura's her former friend. I'm so sorry. That she talked to Louis' ex, whose name I forget. And
Vanessa?
I think so. And I realized it. I was like, I don't want to say it loud. But she talked to Louis' ex. And Marge said she didn't, but maybe she did.
Right. I get it. Sure. And she lied. Okay, fine. I to me, it's like, as everyone seemed to say, it's like not a big deal or not like, I just don't understand. Like,
well, it's hypocrite. I don't know that it's not a big deal. I could understand how that would be a big deal.
It's hypocritical for her to do it or to.
It's hypocritical for there to be an accusation that this is the worst thing a person could ever do when you're saying in the same breath, oh, we did that with Laura. Oh, the other stuff that we were able to pick up. It's just like, does it not cancel each other out?
I think that like what, again, the sort of unspoken thing here is that Margaret doing this was less like, let me take Teresa down, and more like, this is a bad guy and I want information about how he is bad to be out there. Like, to me it makes perfect sense, but I get that like that's not going to be Teresa's take on it, obviously. I just think that like there's a reason why she wanted the stuff about Louis' past to be out there, and I think it's
who's the she?
Margaret. And like I get it, because I think it's valuable information to have.
But if you're on Teresa's side of things, she finally found this man of her dreams and this person is trying to ruin it. No, I'm being serious.
No, I know.
And I could understand, especially if you're in a potentially toxic situation where this person is telling you he's being victimized and maybe there's pressure on you because this is only happening or only becoming more public because Teresa's on the show and Teresa's famous.
Yeah.
So I could understand her feeling a certain amount of extra pressure. I don't think it is her fault in any way. I'm just trying to explain the upset that she's currently feeling, which to me is very apparent and very real, that she's rattled and not doing well. I just disagree about the responsibility here and maybe even the timing of some of this. And I also think it's tough because she's since said on social that there were tons of receipts and other timelines shared and the edit just didn't include it, which is counter to their reactions in the confessionals. And also, sweetie, if you want to do it and you don't currently have a job right now, and I don't know that production is arguing for you not to release this because there would be many other arguments they should have made prior about people's behavior off camera. Put them up on fucking whatever.
I'm not even trying to defend Margaret so much as like I think it's just it's tough because I don't know. I just feel like this whole the Louis of it all is such a hard thing. I can't get past it myself when I'm trying to look at like the other side of things, because I think that he is such a problem that like I understand why Teresa is upset. I can't understand watching this season and being like, as I said, Margaret is the problem. Rachel Fuda is the problem. Like that
Melissa's the problem
that it's all about them trying to take Teresa down, because like there's this like elephant in the room and he's working with Bodeedle. And I just like it dwarfs everything else to me. And I think that's sort of was Margaret's argument, or has been, is like he crossed a line and that's why they don't fuck with them anymore, that with Teresa and Louis. Like, it's not, that's what it's ultimately about. Because I think that they otherwise would be able to make up and move on if it were just Teresa and Marge fighting about whatever else.
And the thing that Teresa does have in her corner that works to her benefit is that a lot of this obviously happened off camera. And she has the ability to say, you don't have proof, because potentially Marge as a parent does not want to continue talking about her son who may have been threatened or intimidated off camera by someone who is on the show, not a full-time cast member, but like on the show, if that is not being litigated or dealt with by the network, I could understand not wanting to do the network's job and continue conversation about this. We saw that with Dolores. She did not want Frankie Jr.'s employment status, his experiences discussed on camera. There's stuff here that is happening, and people decide that because more specifics haven't been shared, which is very different from Teresa's conversation about sharing receipts on TV when it comes to stuff that she's telling us we should understand, but it comes down to an editing issue. With Marge and Dolo, it's like, we don't want this to be on TV, let alone have our argument be, oh, we want this discussed more, you guys just cut it. What they're saying is, this stuff is really intense and serious and involves our children. We don't want it discussed on camera. And you can, if you're on the other side of this, say, well, because it's not discussed on camera, it didn't happen. Like, that benefits the other side on this, the instigating side. And it's just...
But the thing that they have said, that they said at the reunion, was that he was investigating, that Louis was had Bodito investigating all of them, basically. Like, I think that part of it, which I think they brought up again this season, is like, it's not like that part they can talk about. I understand why they don't want to talk about the kids' involvement, whether they're adult children or not. I get that part of it, but like, they are happy to discuss the fact that Louis did hire a private investigator to look into all of their backgrounds.
But that's not the worst part of him.
It's pretty bad, though.
It's not good, but it's like examples of his character, but that's not solely his character. There's so many other examples to pull from that this is not the man that was presented to us, which, like, spoiler alert, a guy comes on Housewives, a husband, and he's not that great. Oh, my God, news at 11. He's not the first person, so I don't want to, but he is someone who has crossed lines that are absolutely should be no-go, uncrossed. Possible. People have been dragged by the audience for doing less. Jackie doing an analogy, she was in boiling hot water for that by Teresa and Teresa stands for a while. A person could, again, phrase of the day, make an argument that, yeah, Teresa's upset her child is being used as an example in conversation with someone doing drugs. That, like, regardless of you knowing that Gia would never do that and does not do that, you saying that as an example on camera makes it a thing. So, like, the lack of nuance here on another perspective when it affects another cast member who was quote unquote lucky or unlucky that their child was potentially threatened or intimidated off camera. Like, we're not able to see how this, the math so truly isn't mathing. We're really not in a position where we see this, and it all involves Louis. You don't need to like Marge to get this.
Yeah.
You can say that Marge has potentially crossed lines, stirred things, gotten involved in hot water behind the scenes, strategized. Yes, you can say that.
And I think also, like, Marge's not having a great season. She's currently dealing with grief, and like, she is not having a great season. She's had some great moments. I think that the thing that's interesting to me is, like, you know, that I see these people online who are like, fire Marge, fire Melissa, fire Rachel, basically fire anyone who's gone against Teresa and the show will be perfect again. And it's like, but they've made great TV. I think for me, like, great moments. It's like Marge sending the text message to Dolores.
So good.
One of the an all-time great moment, like an iconic moment, also aided by pointing at the phone being like,
look at it. And then Dolo being like, I need to check on the dog.
So good. And then also, like, Marge sending the floral arrangement.
Yeah, that was really good.
It was so good. That is like housewifery. That is like, so it's hard to write that off as being like, she's an evil person. It's like, well, she's creating great TV. Danielle is creating great TV. Like, what I was saying earlier is, like, I don't think that Teresa or Melissa are creating great TV this season.
Also, what's the lesson that the network is trying to say? If you go against Teresa, this is going to happen and we're not going to protect you.
Well, I never know what show people want when they advocate for getting rid of the enemies of the person they love. Because I'm like, conflict is essential to these shows.
That's when Teresa comes alive, when she feels like she's under attack. And also, they're going to redo a show. You bring back Teresa. You're not going to bring back Teresa and five people who love her and bow down to her. You might. The show will last one season and then we'll do something else. Like, you're going to have people in the cast who don't like her, who are going to say things that upset her. What is the reaction to that? What's going to happen now? Now I'm going to think, when she's back on the show, what is Louis going to do behind the scenes to get revenge when someone upsets his wife.
Yeah.
Or what's going to happen when he is upset and his wife needs to feel and share his upset and go to war on his behalf. Now I know what's normalized in New Jersey and what is going to continue because nobody's talking about it. It's left to the audience to figure it out, and we're not doing a great job.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know. I really, when I see those great moments of housewife behavior, of all that stuff, it makes me sad because I think Jersey has been, to me, the most consistent housewife show.
Yeah.
Where even when it's not a great season, I'm always enjoying it. Mm. And that's how I felt with this season until the last few episodes.
First couple episodes I liked.
I really like...
First several, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really working for me. And then it just... this whole thing is like... For the main reason being that the Louis stuff needs to be talked about, or it's like, what are we doing here? And the other part of it is that like the conflict being so much about feeding people information behind the scenes. Mm. What we're not acknowledging, obviously, because it wasn't known at the time, that Jen and Teresa were doing the same thing. That like, but it's also just like so much, they all do this to each other. And it's been that way for years and years and years to different extents. Not saying they all send screeners to people on Twitter.
Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last. When it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/AndySquirrels today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/AndySquirrels. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is a glow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin. Serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's deluxe kit. The one-and-done skincare solution, clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that Blockbuster Hydrating Cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with JLo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try JLo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls.
I think that, like, the point being, it's just like, it feels like we're talking about nothing, that we're just kind of like litigating this thing that doesn't mean anything, because this, they've all behaved poorly to each other behind the scenes. They've all tried to do this. Teresa can put out a statement saying, like, you know, stop the bad behavior or whatever wants. But like, this is just kind of how this universe has operated for a long time. And I think that it's run its course. And I think that the show, as we know it, has obviously run its course, because that's like, there's really no way forward here. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, because I do think that Jersey, being a show that's always been about, New York was a show about a friend circle in the, you know, and Jersey was a show about family, and it was about these like very real long-standing relationships. It's a lot harder to imagine a Jersey with a totally new cast. And like, would you be able to find someone who had no connection to any of them? If you even were trying to find like brand new people, would you be able to find someone who wasn't married to a Manzo?
Well, wouldn't you want, not Manzo specific, but wouldn't you want people who have connections to each other? This is where I'm getting confused.
But then it would be weirder if you didn't have any of the cast members from before. Don't you think it would be weird to me if you...
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think no. It would be...
I think all of these people have friends. Like, Teresa, genuinely, IRL, has seemingly, like, a big, solid, consistent group of friends. So none of those people we really know. And that's not me insulting Teresa. I'm just saying, like, we haven't seen these people on TV, maybe, like, background at one of her events or something. You could... Some of those people might be good for TV. Like, I don't know.
But not true. But you're saying... I'm talking about firing everyone and replacing with brand new people. And you're saying that...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought you meant bringing some people back.
No. Okay, my bad. What I'm saying is, I can't imagine a total firing everyone and replacing them, because you wouldn't be able to find people who had no connection to anyone.
I think it's a big state. And honestly, I don't know that having a connection is a bad thing. I think it's kind of like a wink of like, remember these people?
Remember Siggy friend, LOL. Jen?
Maybe that's a benefit of like, we're not going that far away because these people knew these people. So it's just just a little block.
I don't know. Like, I think that like I had, I really liked the new season of New York when it started. I didn't like as much by the end, but I'm excited for the next season with them. I think it was really helpful that it was a total clean slate.
Yeah.
I have a hard time thinking about how they would do it on Jersey. And I just don't think, I think that like, you know, Dolores has put in the work.
She has.
Bring her back and just figure it out around Dolores, because I do think that she's frustrating me this season, because I feel like Switzerland is like not a position you can take at this point. And I think she's obviously running into that, which is why she and Marge are finally going to come to a conflict, even though they've been able to.
Are they?
Yeah, that was the whole thing. That they end, like, that they have their biggest fight ever. That was, like, their whole thing.
Oh, during the finale?
I think it must be during the finale. That they ended really... ended
badly?
They're okay. They're
Why
good.
Why am I confused? Okay.
About Dolores and Margaret?
Yeah, I don't think I realized that.
Yeah, okay, it was a whole thing that she's talking about. That they, like...
That's something I want to see.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That they...
I don't know why I'm losing it.
They had their biggest fight ever.
Okay.
Because Dolores could not be besties with both Teresa and Margaret at the same time during all of this. But yeah, I do think Dolores has put in the work and deserves to come back. And personally, I feel like there's no reason why you can't cast around Danielle and Fuda.
But then then are we just redoing? I guess you're, because we
it's
don't
a
know
soft
what
reboot.
Do.
It's a soft reboot.
I don't know. I feel sick. I don't, it doesn't make me feel good. I don't think there's any answers or recommendations. I just feel sad about it and mad. I feel mad and sad.
Cast around Tracy, was that her name? The one season friend of Tiki Barber wife. Is that, was her name Tracy?
Oh my God, that was so dumb.
Remember when she came to the reunion and didn't and got cut out of the reunion entirely? And that's they were like, they're like pictures of her feet and like.
That's bad.
That would make me feel so sad if I like filmed like a reunion and I was like edited out of it. I would feel truly crushed by that.
Wait, so speaking of feeling sad, so I was supposed to go to the Jill Zarin luxury lunch and I couldn't because there was some stuff I had to attend to. But I saw a video of Jen Aden on the press line at the luxury lunch. Yeah. And the question was like, I don't know, maybe something about like not coming back or whatever. And her answer, this is not verbatim, was something along the lines of like, she was trying to be sarcastic of like, what am I going to do if I don't come back? Count my Ferraris. Pause. Count my Chanels. Stop. And I just thought, sweetie, it was never about the money for us. I guess it only was for you.
I don't think it was. I think for her,
she needed to show wealth,
but also
or rich.
No, I think that she would be so sad to not be on television.
She isn't currently.
Well, I know, but I'm saying I don't think she will be in the
future. It's like Casper the Friendly Aden right now. She's not really here.
I really feel like it was so interesting to watch her like melt down the way that she did when she realized like how badly she fucked up this season. And the fact that she lashed out at Teresa, which is like, you know, has kind of kept her on the show all these years because she hasn't been able to.
Well, I mean, she's paid for it over and over again.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
She's the right to be like, totally, I'm doing too much labor.
I thought it was interesting to see her briefly go against Teresa.
Yeah, you could see in her eyes when Teresa, like after the Danielle thing, when Jen Aden in their like dressing area or her live podcast show, you could see upset in Jen's eyes, like visceral instinctive upset toward Teresa, which would be, I think, an interesting thing, except there's so much that's artificial that's going on that we're distracted by it, and understandably so. It's just terribly unfortunate. But if it's
true plot twist, they put the show on pause, and then a year later, they're like, we're bringing everyone back for another season.
That was what happened this year.
Basically.
Where it was plot twist. Because we were told over and over and over again, this is the last time that Teresa and Melissa are going to be on the same stage.
And the ratings for the reunion were so good because first of all, it was an amazing reunion. It was upsetting, but you didn't think so last year?
Part one and two, I don't remember. Part three was one of the most upsetting things I've ever seen on Bravo. I'm not even joking. I thought it was disgusting.
It was disgusting. I thought it was like, okay, anyway, we don't have to talk about the reunion, but the ratings were incredible because people were like, this is it. This is the final showdown. And then it was like, this season, if you watch the ratings, I follow Ratings Bravo on Twitter, so they post all the ratings.
Muscle
like,
tough.
You can watch them sink lower and lower every week.
I don't really care about ratings. Is that bad? Well, I don't
want to.
No,
I don't think you have to care about it. I'm just pointing out that like it's just been such a rejection of what's happening. And like, for me, who was enjoying it, the longer it's gone on, the more clear it's been that this season should never have happened.
It makes me sad and mad. What are other emotions?
But it's like I said, it's given us some great moments. And I think that I didn't love Danielle last season. So
no, she was a flop. Not a flop. Bad. She was just not good.
She really came into her own.
She did.
Meanwhile,
P.S. you look like shit. Oh, by the way, you look like shit.
Yeah, incredible. I also like have loved Rachel Fuda from the get-go.
Hmm.
I don't love her husband. And I think that's dragged the food is down a bit for me.
I think he thinks he's funnier than he is.
That's true about every man on Jersey.
No, that's true. I said it. Frank Catania is genuinely funny.
Jersey loves giving us scenes with the men. And every time I'm like, I don't know who this is for.
Can I say something really sad?
Sure.
So, you know how this isn't, the sad part isn't that Bravo's not doing an after show, but like, they're doing this. They're doing this like weird thing on YouTube that I don't understand where it's like this terrible background. It looks very much like late 90s or something, junior high photos where like people are intentionally look terrible or that's like the LOL. And it's this like very bright artificial background. They have it right now for additional videos with the cast of New Jersey, obviously separately, and the cast of OC. And it just doesn't look right. Like nobody is lit correctly. I understand maybe what they thought they were doing, but it almost feels ironic. Like it's an odd kind of look. But anyway, there's some extra videos that I don't even know if it's called the after show or what, of Orange County, like Jen giving more information on her financial stuff. And then there is some stuff on New Jersey. And Marge does say that Joby does have prostate cancer.
Oh, that is really sad.
But it's very early. Okay. They're watching it. That is, you know, it affects a lot of people, prostate cancer, especially as you get older. And so they're just in a space where they're watching it. But I wasn't expecting her to say that in a video that was released on social before the finale. Not that I'm talking about cancer as a to be continued, but just in terms of like her flat out saying like this is the situation that we're in, because I don't know that I didn't know that. I don't know that a lot of people knew that.
I didn't know that.
And also they're, I think, almost intentionally trying to get us to not watch these videos. I don't understand why. But she does say that, you know, because she was dealing with losing Jan and then her husband being diagnosed with cancer, and she's just fucking going through a lot. And I just wanted to, you know, send my love out to Joe B, who I don't know how you feel, a person feels about Marge, depending on whose team, whatever, feedback or whatever. But Joe Benigno to me is such a good man.
A gem
and so lovely and very patient. And just, you know, want to send him the best. I was surprised to see it. I was surprised to see it in the context of a essentially additional video thing on YouTube, I just was surprised to see it and hope that they're doing as best they can.
I'm surprised by that too. Also a good reminder to stay on top of your health, get the screenings that, you know, are recommended that you get.
Yep.
Very important.
We both just got tubes up our butt.
We both got colonoscopies and
together.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
They said it's BOGO day here at Lenox.
Because I had polyps, two polyps. Mm-hmm. I'm oversharing on your podcast, but I don't care, because the point is now they're not a problem anymore. And they could have been.
We're doing a high five.
You know, I'm younger than the recommendation.
Good way to answer that sentence. Finish that sentence. But I know where you were going.
Oh yeah. I was saying younger than the recommendation.
We are the same age.
We are the same age.
How old are you? You don't have to tell.
Spiritually mid-20s plus.
Perfect.
But the point
we being, are younger than, I just want to make that clear. We are both younger than the recommendation.
Yes. Yeah.
Literally.
But I'm not saying you should beg your doctor for a screening, but like if they have any concerns or any, you know, whatever, just do your due diligence. It's really important. And it's scary to know things sometimes, but also it's better than not knowing until it's too late.
Colorectal cancer, absolutely on the increase, including younger Americans. It's like skyrocketed. Prostate cancer, something that, you know, men of a certain age have to keep an eye out on. And I don't know even what the age range there is.
I think it's a bit older.
But it is very, very common. All the more reason to keep your eye on this stuff. And Shane Simpson has not yet gone to a doctor. He was just on Jeff Lewis, and I love Shane Simpson, and he's talked about having some like cardiac kind of symptoms, and you know, it's just so scary to get things checked. And I was supposed to get a colonoscopy several years ago because of my ongoing stuff and GI symptoms, and it was canceled because my prep infected my nervous system. It was a whole fucking thing. And then COVID happened because it was scheduled for mid-February, and then it got canceled the night before. And so I'm like carrying all that baggage with me when I get the colonoscopy. And I have to tell you, of all the invasive tests that I've had, colonoscopy not in the
kind
top five.
Kind of a breeze.
I was very nervous because of my nervous system that I was going to have a, and it was like all of
you had a different.
It was a different situation process, that most people will not have to deal with, thankfully. But like it was a back and forth with four different doctors in the weeks before to try to do the, if this happens, this and do this and this. And it was easy breezy beautiful, and I'm so glad I did
easy,
it.
Easy breezy beautiful colon girl.
Easy breezy beautiful colon girl, colon cover girl.
You know what stressed me out, related, like going back to Jersey, so we can tie it all together. Is
we don't want to talk more about pooping.
No, it's it's related. It's like it stressed me out when Fuda, what's his first name?
John
Fuda was like having an allergic reaction. He was like going into anaphylactic shock.
Oh my god.
And was like, Italians don't go to doctors. And I'm like, you're going to fucking die in that chair because you wouldn't.
And it's not even a good season to die during.
No. And I was like, I really, it is like more of a straight man thing of like not going to the doctor or not whatever. But like, please, if you need medical attention, whether it's like urgent attention or general care that whatever, just like, please do see a doctor when you're able to.
And the flip side is there are so many people who see so many doctors and can't get answers to their symptoms. Yeah. So there's a whole spectrum here of stuff, but you know, just try to stay on top of it. It's just a reminder to me as I say it out loud, because nobody's perfect and nobody's the perfect patient, of, you know, trying to get through this stuff. And, you know, it's God, I just can't.
If you're going into anaphylactic shock, you should probably call 911.
Yeah, if you can't breathe, though, no, but it's not even, it's not, it's, like, genuinely, like, if you can't breathe, John was in denial, and I think he was feeling embarrassed, and he's with his guy friends, yeah, and he's filming, and he doesn't want to be the patient, but, like, genuinely, word of mouth, if you feel like you do not feel well, and you're deciding between whether or not to get medical attention and not, and again, in this country with insurance,
yes,
get
it's it's complicated.
It's complicated. And I almost died in 2022. I was told after the fact by the nephrologist who is overseeing me in the ICU, who's now my absolute angel, who I messaged to, I forgot. He sent me to my portal and left me a voicemail, and I forgot. But said I had a 90% chance of mortality, yeah, had I not called 911, but while I was still conscious. Like, it's, you don't know. And for some of us who have ongoing symptoms of things, sometimes you don't know if this is just normal or not. But if you, the one takeaway from this is, like, if you are experiencing, this is genuinely serious, like a medical emergency or symptoms that you can't explain, I know how scary it is. I waited as long as I possibly could with getting the colonoscopy again, which was supposed to have been done 4 years ago. And I did it. And it's just, it's so scary doing this stuff. It really, really is. But there is a lot of benefit as to relieving stress off of you, because we don't even realize how stressed we are sometimes, and how that can manifest. And also, God forbid, you get an answer or diagnosis that you're not looking for, that's not the end of the story. And it doesn't need to be, but you make that story more complicated when you do not follow your body, your mind, your instinct, your gut. Just, you know, we're all trying to do the best we can, but denial oftentimes just makes this stuff worse for us in the end, you know? It just makes difficult things harder.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you that Joe Benigno is happy that Marge was pushing him to get tested and get answers, because yeah, now he's in a position. Unfortunately, he has been diagnosed, and God forbid I misunderstood that video, but I really am quite
I believe it.
That, like, he has people who are on top of it, who are managing it. Sometimes the best answer isn't necessarily going straight into X or Y. Sometimes just being really vigilant. It just really, really depends mm-hmm. on your body and the situation. It's so specific. But, like, now he is aware. He has that information. It does not mean his life is over. It just means that more people have eyes on his life who can help him.
Yeah. And I've never loved him more than when he was yelling at John Fuda to be like, you need to do what they tell you to do and stop being annoying and macho about it.
He's like, who's the, we have to wrap, we've been recording for 6 hours. I do think we maybe broke a record today. who are you most attracted to on New Jersey? Who would you most like as your partner?
As my partner, honestly, my answer to both might be Nate. Because he is a good man and good, a very attractive man.
Good man.
Yeah, I think it's Nate.
I think it would be Nate, but also Joe Benigno yeah. for the partner. I think he is a great, great partner. I also think I can be a lot, and I need someone who's like, I got you.
But I think Danielle can be a lot, and Nate is
100%.
So I think I think that those are both good answers. I think there's not really a, if you'd said, like, I don't know, Louis, I might be a little concerned, but...
Between, this is so unfair, but welcome again to Andy's Girls, between Nate and Evan Goldschneider,
yeah,
what would your final answer be?
Of, like, hotness?
Both.
I'm going to go to Nate for both. I think Evan, unfortunately, as Jackie has soured for me, Evan has also... It's
Are
like
we losing
it's
the
company
hot...
you keep. It's like,
wow,
he's going out with Teresa and Louis. Whatever they said in the last episode was basically like, if you hang out with scumbags, you're a scumbag.
Okay.
About Louis. And I'm like, I don't entirely disagree. Mm. I really just don't bad vibes. And like,
haven't we lost enough?
And they're so that they're obviously very smart. So I'm just like, Jackie and Evan, I'm just like, what are you doing?
maybe it's a compliment that she's flopping at playing dumb, but it's the continuation of it IRL that's really tough
for me.
She
depresses me when they ask how her book's doing, and she's just like, well, not well. It's just like, she's just a Debbie Downer. Hard.
It's also a niche book.
It's a niche book, and honestly,
this
like, not denigrating her book, very brave of
no,
her to write it.
No, but it's like literally Debbie Downer from SNL.
Yeah, it's just that her vibe this season is like, she just like flops from one side to the next, flopping around.
And I think because we truly have to wrap, like speaking of like, if you know and how to calibrate, I'm not comparing her to Tamara. I would never do that to Tamara. But like, there is something to be said for, I think, is she aware that this didn't go well? Or maybe do you use that? And I would understand it as a lot of people are sending shit to me right now, but I know that I'm right. Or maybe I feel like I didn't have an option.
I think that the whole show is such a disaster right now, and all their futures are so in flux slash like they're not coming back, that I think for Jackie, she probably is glad she's positioned herself this way, because she probably gets less hate online as a member of Teresa's side than she would have gotten if she had been like a Melissa or a Margaret Soldier this season. I think that she, like, I think because the Teresa fans are louder, tend to be louder, that she's probably feels like she's on the better side in terms of like her Instagram comments.
It's just so interesting because I do think that that's right. I do agree. And I also think her eligibility with employment, which was already, she was already demoted, is not good because of that switching of teams. I think she could have been in a better position, but also that's,
I just think it matters.
It doesn't matter. She wouldn't have been back. She wouldn't have been back. She was on her way out.
Yeah.
All right. Lewis Peitzman, we've been recording for 16 hours. We ran a marathon.
Once Jersey came up, it was like, just, I saw the light leave our eyes.
I'm so sad. What's a good thing? What are three good things happening? And it could be in your life, on TV. Let's end with, we already did the thorn. What are three roses?
In my life?
Yeah.
Going on vacation next weekend.
Love.
Which I'm very excited about because I don't do that very often.
Mazel tov.
I suddenly have time to pursue creative things, whatever they may be.
Which we love.
And I've recently gotten really into, as previously stated, the shaken oat milk espresso drinks at Starbucks.
Hazelnut.
Yeah, the hazelnut one today. I also like the other one's like brown sugar.
So what's the difference between that and literally anything else?
No idea.
Okay.
They shake it though. I've seen them make it.
Do they usually not shake? Is the fact that it's shaken in the title obviously makes a gal think, so they're shaking this and are not shaking others? Do they not shake others?
I have no idea.
Because it's
anyway,
like a martini shaken out straight. I wonder.
That's a third good thing in my life.
Okay. My three are, I have a box in the living room from Doan's final sale, and I'm feeling really positive about that. And the Olympics has really restored a lot of faith. And having Andy Scrolls, which I could actually really cry now.
Oh, no. Every time we record together.
Wait, I am going to say this. Oh, no, I really am crying. I think it's because I haven't had lunch and I'm like wondering what I'm going to order that's gluten-free. Okay, what I am going to say is like, I'm really going through some shit and like, this will be cut. I'm really kind of going through some stuff and I'm so thankful that I have the pod and then I have, you know, the supportive listeners or not. But like, how fortunate am I that I get to like record this podcast and like have connections with people and fight with them over who's the worst husband, Louis or Louis spelled differently. And that it's just genuinely, I'm so fortunate to have it. I love being a part of this community mostly sometimes. I really do.
Good.
It's a good escape.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
And I think a lot of people are going through a lot of things. And it's like the fact that we can do this and like have this be a not safe, but like moderately safe space and talk about this stuff. Like, I don't know. It's just everybody needs that escape. And I do, too. I'm one of those people.
Yeah. That's why I get sad when shows are bad, because this is my escape. So like
how dare you?
If Jersey's going to drag me down, like, that's not OK.
I just want to say that even though New Jersey is like literally the worst, now I'm going to cry about New Jersey being bad. No, I'm not. I just want to say that, like, even though I do think they're making a series of terrible decisions, and really in the world of kindergarten teaching, like teaching these people bad lessons about what happens when you misbehave, I do have hope that they'll be able to figure something out with New Jersey. We just need to get through this terrible finale and then probably monstrous finale commentary episode, and then just keep on trucking along. There's good stuff happening. Love Hotel. Dorinda's going to do some stuff. Orange County's still great.
Breaking news.
I'm going to watch Dubai. I just said that as my oral friendship contract with AGs. I really am curious because now that I know that you have like nuanced mixed feelings about the season, which I can completely understand, I'm curious about how I am going to react to the season. And it does feel right to like steer focus away from New Jersey because it is wrapping. And as much as I love Orange County, I want to have the opportunity to talk about other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because New Jersey is just so fucking bleak.
But soon we'll have, you know, I think Salt Lake City trailer may be coming soon.
Which they keep fucking...
Well, people online always say it's dropping this week. I know. But I think, winter I think is coming. We will get it soon. Miami starts filming soon. New York is filming. Like,
not to add to the list of grievances, but not having cameras up for Alexia and Todd. And then more
and
of
they
Alexia.
Seem to be...
No. Current. So apparently... So she went on vacation. She tagged him in something while she was like somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. But I guess that happened maybe because she was like tagging him because of a wink wink, like he likes the sandwich or something that she was tagging the photo of.
Oh.
So I thought she was tagging him on vacation because like they were working it out. But I think it was more related to the meal that she was. But that also is an indicator.
She was trying to tag Ishibashi.
You wouldn't tag your estranged husband in an Instagram story about a sandwich unless things were positive.
What if he blindsided you and you were trying to.
I think it's tough.
Oh, sad.
I think it's tough.
Okay, now.
So cameras are going to be up.
A bummer note. Great. Let's end on a bummer note.
No, we had three good things.
Yes.
And I think that's great. And AGs, your homework at home is to do truly whatever you want. But like maybe think about three good. What? I sound insane.
A gratitude journal?
Oh, God. You know what? And I've tried that twice. I can't get past the first day. It's just the reminding.
Yeah, no, I know.
Anyway, maybe I'll do that from now on. I definitely won't, but maybe I'll end episodes with like what's something that you're grateful for, because I think we need that as we wrap New Jersey in the next couple weeks and remove it as the stench. I hope for the best. I really do hope for the best. All right, did I tell you? Did you talk about yourself?
Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd at Lewis Peitzman.
Love it. And guys, you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. There are two bonus episodes up on the AG page, one with our pal Bravo Bravo Ducking Bravo. We had just a couple things to say about James Leonard and New Jersey and Teresa and all of that goodness, which you can listen to now, as well as a deep dive on Phaedra's return to Atlanta, what that means, and just kind of unpacking a lot of the complications there, and also the potential. They're currently on a group trip. We saw a photo of Cynthia posing with Phaedra and Portia and Shamia, so that's exciting. And you can sign up for those exclusive bonus episodes at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. The two apps I just mentioned are for the OG of the AG and People's Couch tiers. And there are so many available. $2 a month gets you my absolute thanks. $5 a month is where bonus episodes kick in. You get two bonus episodes a month. $10 a month gets you four bonus episodes, including the two I just mentioned. And there's also a premium tier where you can record a Zoom Patreon episode with me or have a private Zoom Kiki. So that's a lot of fun. Lewis Peitzman, we recorded for 16 hours. Thank you for giving me your entire day. I know that you
did. This is my job now.
It is your job now. I know that you mentioned that it's going to thunderstorm. So my worst case scenario is that you leave the apartment and it's raining. So we're going to hope for the best.
I've been checking the weather. Don't even worry.
Okay, great. No worries here. Get your colonoscopies. Who doesn't love a tube now and again? And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.